name of God, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You know how the cathedral is laid out, how it's laid out on the pattern of the temple in Jerusalem. There's an outer court, an inner court. People come to the outer court, the inner court, the priests come, and then there's a Holy of Holies, and the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. He only goes once a year. He goes on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. He does whatever he can to purify himself, and then he goes there, and in his hands he has the blood of the sacrifice. The sacrifice is a life poured out, and it's poured out in order to reconcile God's people to God and God to his people. And as the high priest is pouring out the sacrifice on this day, this is from sundown last night until sundown today, it's Yom Kippur, this solemn feast that Jesus would have kept and has kept to this day by our Jewish brothers and sisters. And in the temple, while the sacrifice was being poured out, the Old Testament reading that we have today, more of it, the whole book of Jonah was being read. It makes a difference where you are when you hear the scripture being read. And this book of Jonah, it sounds very solemn when heard that the sacrifice is being poured out. It's a book about God's judgment and God's mercy. And it's a book about how the people who should be prepared to know God and receive his judgment and embrace his mercy reject it. And the people who couldn't be expected to know repent and seek the Lord immediately. It's an upside down book. The parable today is one of these parables that turns things upside down. Jonah is an upside down book, and it's a very solemn thing. You're hearing that read as the sacrifice is being poured out. You don't want to be Jonah. You want to be the people of Nineveh, who hear the word of the Lord and immediately repent and turn to him. And as the prayer book says, intend to lead a new life, walking from henceforth in God's holy way. So our Jewish brothers and sisters, they hear this book read against the backdrop of the sacrifice being poured out in the Holy of Holies on the day, the solemn Day of Atonement. And as Christians, we hear this book being read against the backdrop of this life that's been poured out for us, so that now we can go boldly into the throne of grace. What's the story? Jonah's a prophet. And God gives his word to the prophets. And the words are words of judgment and mercy. The word is, you're going in the wrong direction. If you don't turn around, you'll be turned over. But if you will yet repent, turn around, return to the Lord, God will have mercy and bless you. So we have the record of the words that God gave the prophets in all of the great prophetic books. Jonah's a little bit different. There's only really five words that God gives Jonah in the book of Jonah. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overturned. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Assyria is a brutal empire. And they have vanquished the northern tribes and taken them into exile. They are the blood enemies of the Jewish people. God calls Jonah to be his prophet, to go and speak his word to Nineveh. Now, there's a backstory here, which is that Jonah has sworn off prophecy. He had given a prophecy to a particularly wicked king of Israel, and that prophecy had not come true. It had been overturned later by the prophet Micah. The king had said, "Should I, you know, if I go into battle, will things go well?" And Jonah had said, "Yes, they will." And they did for a time, but then Micah came up and said, look, because of your wickedness, king, you're going to be overturned. Over and over again in this book of Jonah, this word overturn comes up. It's a curious word because it can mean two things. It can mean the enemy comes, the walls are broken down, the army is vanquished, the occupying force comes in, the people are taken away into exile, and the kingdom is overturned. It can mean that. It can also mean that they were committed to a wicked way, and they turned over, and they went in a different way. So this word that God gives Jonah, it could be, the meaning of it could be, in 40 days, this city will have happened with what it caused to happen with so many other cities. Or it could mean that in 40 days, they'll hear God, and they'll turn over. And then Jonah doesn't want to accept this assignment. He doesn't want anything more to do with prophecy. He's been humiliated. This is a poignant thing, isn't it? God is willing to humiliate his prophet for the sake of accomplishing his mercy, his purpose of mercy. That happens on the hill outside Jerusalem. And he doesn't want to take this word of judgment to his blood enemies and the enemies of his people because he suspects that God is going to do it again. That rather than them being turned over, they're going to turn over and repent and he'll be humiliated again. He's not having anything to do with it. So he runs as far as he can in the opposite direction. Always a good idea to run away from God. How could God ever catch up with you? Anyway, Jonah runs away from God, and he catches a ship. He captures a ship going in the opposite direction, and a great storm comes up. And the pagan sailors are more pious than Jonah is. And this is one of the things that's being turned over in this story, is that the pagans, who shouldn't be able to recognize God and know what God is doing, they recognize it right away. In their tradition, you cast lots to find out who has offended God, and the lot falls on Jonah, and Jonah confesses. And he says, okay, you throw me over the side, it'll be okay. They don't want to do it. Jonah belongs to the people who have been set apart to receive God's word so they can live towards God and towards each other in such a way that all the nations of the world want to come and know God. Jonah has the Torah. And one of the principles of the Torah is you shall not shed innocent blood. Jonah is encouraging them to break the law of God. They're saying, no, we don't want to. But ultimately, they're convinced there's no other way. They throw him over the side, and a great fish comes up, you've heard this, and swallows Jonah. The consequences of his sin, his defiance of God, his rebellion against God, the consequences of his sin and the judgment of God upon his sin swallowed him up. And in the belly of that fish, which is the hell of reaping what you've sown, he's nevertheless enclosed in the mercy of God. God judges so that he can have mercy. And this figure of Jonah in the belly of the whale, this is often taken in the early church as a figure for the death and resurrection of the Lord. He knew not sin, but he made him to know sin and take completely upon himself the jaws of judgment that should close on us. And there, in the belly of the fish, Jonah prays. There's two times in this story that he prays. We have one of them in front of us today, and this time he prays. It's a poignant prayer. He says, oh God, could I just go to your house again? Could I just go to your temple? Could I just be one more time in the place where your glory dwelleth and in which your honor abideth? If I could just do that, I'd do anything. Even go to my enemy with what I know will be a word of mercy. And so God causes the fish to turn over, and Jonah is vomited onto the land. And then he goes to Nineveh. He's diffident. And he goes to Nineveh, and in the most perfunctory way possible, he goes into the middle of the city, no beating around the bush, and he gives his sermon, five-word sermon, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. Immediately they repent. Right away. From the lowest to the highest. The king puts on sackcloth and ashes, orders all the people to do the same, and he says, look, I want you to round up all the animals, put sackcloth and ashes on them. Let us repent and humble ourselves before God, and he will have mercy upon us. Jonah goes outside the city gate, and he sits down to see what will happen. Maybe they'll still get what they deserve. He builds himself a booth. Now, there's a feast, there's Yom Kippur, which is in the background of this story today. There's another Jewish feast, which is the Feast of Booths. And that is, they build themselves booths, sukkahs, they build themselves booths. They remember that they dwelt in booths made of bushes in the desert. They made themselves shade structures in the desert. And they remember that God preserved them in the desert, fed them with the manna, and preserved them and led them into the promised land. And so, a booth has to do with Thanksgiving, but Jonah's not connecting the dots in any way. Then God gives Jonah, and we have it in the story today, a special measure of his mercy. He causes a plant to grow up and give him shade. And he's pleased. And then God takes it away. And the sun beats down upon Jonah, and he wants to die. And the sun, this is a figure of the naked human soul under the judgment of the holy and righteous God. And who can stand it? And then there's a conversation between God and Jonah. And it goes like this, I think. I gave you shade, mercy. I take it away so you can see what it is to live without mercy. You can't stand it for a moment. You can't stand yourself what you want me to visit upon these people, 120,000. So it leaves us with a question. To whom do I begrudge the mercy and forgiveness of God? To whom do I begrudge the mercy and forgiveness of God? Leaves us with a question. And that's one question. And another question is, how can I possibly stand the heat of God's judgment? Now, God gave Jonah this bush for a moment. But he's given us a shade which is eternal. And this causes me to think of this hymn. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. That's not a bush, it's a rock. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness. A rest upon the way. From the burning of the noonday sun and the burden of the day. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.